How you doing?
You're very good. Pastor
Thank you.
Jason?
That's right.
Gotcha.
Thank
okay.
you. Appreciate it.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children alone. And some 36 years ago, the Lord placed His omnipotent hand on the shoulders of the most unworthy country boy and called him from his single-row cultivator into the ministry of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And surely He has led us safely along and been more than our heart ever had a right to expect. Sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children alone. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of the night, God leads His dear children alone. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a sweet song in the night season and all the day long.
Past cannot today, what tomorrow may bring, its shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruling for everything, and all of my worry is vain.
When my burden's spread,
Thistles, and that old roof was rotted so that the storms beat in upon me night and day. Then the Spirit came and told me of a wonderful abode where from wind and storm I'd find a safe retreat. So the Savior sent his moving van and he took me up the road to the little house on Hallelujah Street. I shall never forget the day that I moved from sin away and secured a change of address so complete. Since that moment without fail, I've been getting all my mail at the little house on Hallelujah Street. Now the neighbors in the alley where I lived in years gone by, they have never ceased their talking from that day that I left them so abruptly without bidding them goodbye, and from all the sin and shame I moved away. Since the shack of sin is empty where I lived so many years, and no more they hear the treading of my feet, I've moved away forever from the sorrow and the tears to my little house on Hallelujah Street. Now this house is nice and cozy, and its walls so warm and tight. And the landlord doesn't charge me any rent. There's a garden in connection, filled with flowers gay and bright, where so many golden hours I have spent. Yeah, the landscape is so lovely, and the songbirds sing with glee. And I'm never hungry for good things to eat. And I'm never, never lonely, for the Savior dines with me at my little house on Hallelujah Street. Well, I've just received a letter from the King up in Glory Land that he soon is coming after all his own. He will roll down the avenue with retinue so grand, picking up the saved and blood-washed all alone. When I hear the wheels a-rumbling and I hear the angel's song, and I see that God's redemption is complete, I am sure he'll stop and take me from the place I lived so long, at the little house on Hallelujah Street. So I'm looking for the day when you'll carry me away, and I'll make another move that can't be beat. When I leave this earthly veil, I'll no longer get my mail at my little house on Hallelujah Street. You took the hand of Jesus, stepped out upon His promise, yet it seems you have trusted in vain. The answer you have prayed for, it's on its way and paid for. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger. The testings of the Lord are pure gold. He'll take you through the fire, He'll burn out the dross and mire. Hold on a little longer, hold on. You're watching for His coming, you're wondering why He's waiting. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Those clouds will soon be bursting, the Son of God descending. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on, pray on. Hold on a little longer, hold on. Hold on, believe on. Hold on a little longer, hold on.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A pilgrim was I, and a wandering. In the cold night of sin, I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. He restoreth my soul when I'm so weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. When I walk through that dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I will feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
All right, everybody, one more, and then we're going to get started here. One more. I always like to play this one because it's my favorite.
Now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, give me a man to fight. The Israelites said, we got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright. Then a boy with a sling, a pocket full of rocks, that knew how to trust and pray, said, if you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. Now the decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. Here comes supper, one roared. And if you'd have been standing anywhere close, you'd have heard Brother Daniel say, if you're talking about me, forget it, boys. I came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came. Now, the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, turn that old furnace up, high time up. Throw them on in. The Hebrew boys are gonna fry. A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard Brother Shadrach say, pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hand. We came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I want all the preachers to stand, every preacher. I've got a stanza I wrote for you. On the way to Dallas in the plane. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad and said, turn those rules up high. Time up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty is going to die. A little while later, they looked in the churches. They heard God's prophets say, we may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Amen. All right. Came here to stay. And that is the name of our business, is to stay steady, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and to continue on in the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, to dispel the deception and the utter chaos that is out there, to tell the truth about what's really going on in the world today takes biblical discernment, and it will get you banned from YouTube. You can talk about a lot of things, But when you start talking about what's really going on with COVID-19, what's really going on with the games they're playing, what's really going on with the scheme, you're going to get kicked off. They're not going to let you continue on to talk about those things. They're going to get rid of you quickly. They're going to make sure that you can't do that because they don't want the truth out there. They don't want you to be able to tell the truth about what's going on, to be able to think through things, right? And to use evidence and to use facts that are right there. You know, even this video that I'm going to show you today, and I'm going to show you a few videos today, and it goes along with this. I made a COVID playlist for you on Sermon Audio. I would do it on YouTube, but I get banned. So I can't even say COVID-19, otherwise I get banned off of there. And I'm not going to play all their stupid games and talk in code and do all that gay stuff. I'm just going to do what I do. So anyway, but if you go, let's see, here to sermons. All right. And let's see. Right here, the last broadcast we did, which, by the way, a lot of people are listening to. So I can tell there's a hunger out there for people to know what's going on in this world today. They want answers. They want to know what in the world's happening. So if you click on series, if you click on this, there's a COVID-19 playlist that goes all the way back. It has 31 broadcasts in it. This will be the next one. This one right here will be number 32. I wonder if number 33 will be really spooky, huh? Who knows? Anyway, but there it is, and you can see that there are people that want to know the truth. They're hungry for the truth. They want to know what in the world's going on here. You know, what's happened, what's going on, and all that good stuff. Well, you know, Brother Aaron sent me this video that I'm going to show you. And when he sent it to me, I watched it, and actually he posted it on an OPVC private chat that we have, and I watched it, and I looked at it, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is exactly the game plan. I haven't forgot about finishing my COVID fact sheet. I am going to finish that with you. I'm not done with that. That'll probably be the next broadcast. Unless something else pertinent comes up before then. But I fully plan on dealing with masks, dealing with the truth of the tests, the COVID testing that is done, and a number of other things. But I am so interested in the psychosis around all of this. And why is that? Well, because I understand what's going on. God showed me what deceit really looks like. He has showed me in the scriptures, and he has revealed it unto me what real deceit looks like, what real treachery looks like. And it's so close to truth. See, treachery that is open treachery, if you just started walking outside and shooting people and blowing people's heads off, well, that's easy to discern what that is. But being able to discern what's going on through things, whether it's a false flag operation or whether it is something like that, that takes spiritual discernment to understand biblically what's going on. And without strong biblical wisdom and discernment, we falter. You know, we will not. Excuse me here for a second. I gotta unlock that. We will not be able to discern the times and have wisdom to know what to do in those times. We are fastly approaching times when we have better get down what we're going to do. We better understand from the scriptures what our positions are, what we're to hold to, what to be wise as serpents and to be harmless as doves. We better get that down. We better be able to figure out exactly what we're doing when it comes to that. Exactly what the game plan is. Because I'm going to tell you what, Satan's coming for us. He's coming for the churches. He's coming for Bible believers. And if this ain't Revelation 13 right now, coming to life, in 2 Thessalonians, man, I don't know what is. The strong delusion that is coming. But there are always things, methods, patterns that are used. Now, Orwell was not a good man. He was an occultist for sure and all the other stuff. I'm not going to get into who Orwell is. But I'm going to tell you, he wrote this. And when he wrote this and everything like that, I mean, I haven't read the entire work. I'm not going to tell you I have. But what I'm going to tell you is that the man, occultic, he had devils. He knew exactly what was going on. And this is like a blueprint. Blueprint. To control all forms of information. To control all forms and all information flow. To have the ministry of truth. I mean, it's eerie. And this man did not liken it to COVID at all. And this was made August 7th, 2021. But I know why he didn't liken it to COVID. He'd be kicked off. So it's a match between, yeah, it's a match between Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and George Orwell's Warning to the World. Same, I mean, bounce back between both of them. They're very similar. We'll talk about Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World sometime. We'll do that one too. Okay? But I know what my Bible says. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ said deception is going to rule the world. Right? Delusion. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. We live in a day and age of no absolute truth. Right? They do not believe in absolute truth. What do the average people believe in? Your truth versus my truth. Not an absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He's the only way. But the Antichrist and that beast system, this is being used to form that beast system. And you do hear me harp about it all the time, and I know. I know, and you probably, sometimes you probably get sick of hearing me talk about the Antichrist. I probably preach more on the Antichrist than any preacher in the last 20 years. I don't know that for sure, because I don't know all the preachers. But I'm just saying, I probably have. Because I preach about that spirit of Antichrist all the time and how it is prevalent in this world today. Because it is. And there's many facets to it, like on Friday, we talked about electronic immortality, Google making a god, cyborgs and the singularity, and that really creepy, weird Peter 2.0. Oh, my goodness. Talk about weird. Talk about creepy. Right? Exactly what it was. Very strange stuff. Antichrist stuff. That's what it is. And you better understand that's the battle you're in. You're in a battle for truth. And Satan will use any tool at his disposal to seduce and trick the saints of God. Because what is it all leading up to? The mark of the beast in the end times? One world government. A cross between Orwell's 1984 and Huxley's A Brave New World. So we're seeing it right now. The Bible warns us of this deception. We better be prepared for it. And the best preparation is for you and I to understand the truth, to be rooted and grounded in the faith. And to understand that the Bible, the King James Bible, is absolute truth. See, Roman Catholics believe this. They're taught, the Jesuits are taught, that whatever your superior says, no matter what's in front of your eyes, you believe and you follow your superior. Well, let me tell you what Bible-believing Baptists believe. No matter what's in front of my eyes, I'm going to believe God's holy word. Replace their supreme authority in the Pope and in the Church with the supreme authority of the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, about following a supreme authority above all else? Indeed, if you know what the authority is it Pastor Cooley? No. Is it Old Paths Baptist Church? No. Is it you or I? No. It's God's Word. It's God's perfect, infallible Word, His King James Bible. So if there was a strong delusion, right, before my eyes, right? Like, let's say, the scamdemic, the plandemic, the way they planned it, the way they scammed it. Are people really getting sick? Yes. You have to understand something. With a false flag operation, with other operations, psyops, it doesn't mean there's not real things going on. There are real things going on. People really are dying. It's just they've made it that way. They're going to control the problem, reaction, solution. But here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that we are in the times right now. Look at this. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We haven't even got started in the video, but I'm going to give you Bible. I give you good doctrine. Walk ye in it. Amen. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Look at this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. If you reject the plain teachings of the King James Bible, the plain teachings of God's Word. I didn't say if you don't like me, or if you don't like some other preacher, or if you don't like this church. I said if you reject the plain teachings of the Scriptures, God's holy Word, strong delusion will be sent to you. Power and signs and lying wonders will be sent to you. That's what I'm telling you. And if we're not careful, we'll be deceived by what's going on in front of us. Because Satan is going to be able to mimic things. He is going to be able to show signs and lying wonders. He's going to be able to do that. And if we're not careful, we'll be tricked by him. We'll fall for them. We'll be deceived by them. We'll be taken by them. And most of us from the beginning, I took a good strong look at what was going on in the beginning, and I was cautious for about 3 weeks. I was like, let's ride this out and see what happens. The Lord showed me, get back to church. Get back to doing what you normally do. Don't follow any of that nonsense. A year later, we all got sick with COVID. After they opened everything up and changed everything and all that stuff, a bunch of us got sick with it. Was it bad? Yeah, it was nasty. Right? Nasty. But you know what? God saw us through it. And He will always see us through it. Ah, Grandpa bought me a cold brew just in time. I call him Grandpa, although he's my dad, but so used to having Grandpa around with all the kids. All right, anyway, are we ready? I think we are. All right, put on your spooky tinfoil caps. Are you ready? Watch when this goes on. No, this is not Regeneron! Something from Cybertron that people are injecting in their body. Never mind. All right, are you ready? Here we go. It's about to get real.
In 1940, George Orwell wrote, "Almost certainly we are moving into an age of totalitarian dictatorships.
An age in which freedom of thought will be at first a deadly sin and later on a meaningless abstraction. The autonomous individual is going to be stamped out of existence."
Okay, so, like, what are they trying to do right now? The autonomous individual stamped out of existence. Well, you're not allowed to have your own opinion about anything. You must join the collective. You must be a part of the collective. You must follow the collective. How dare you think about your own health needs? How dare you think about your own health decisions? Right?
George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984 is a work of fiction, but much that is depicted in it reflects the political realities of many nations, past and...
Is this something? War is peace, freedom is slavery? War is peace, freedom is slavery. Right? We gotta protect you from you. Your freedom is dangerous. Right?
And present. At least three quarters of what Orwell narrates is not negative utopia, but history, Umberto Eco wrote. Referring to his time spent in Belgrade under communist rule, Lawrence Durrell wrote that, "Reading 1984 in a communist country is really an experience, because one can see it all around one."
There's a Baptist pastor, or maybe he's not, I'm sorry, he's... No, he's not Baptist. There's a pastor in Canada who got arrested as soon as he went back home. And he was warning, he was in Poland during communist rule, and he was warning everybody. He held church and he kicked, remember that video I showed you guys where he kicked, the pastor kicked out the cops that came in and said that he had to shut down his church? He told them, "You guys are like Nazis, you get out of here. No one wants you here, you go, you get out of here." Remember that guy? Well, he sees all of this going on right now, and he's watching what's going on in Western civilization. He's like, this is the same game plan of the communists.
In this video, we are going to explore some of the similarities between the totalitarian systems of the 20th century and Orwell's 1984. And as will become evident, many of these totalitarian traits are reemerging in the modern world.
Totalitarian traits. Whatever system it is. At the top is a totalitarian dictator that wants to rule everything, right? Wants to rule everything with a rod of iron. Does that sound familiar? Right? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's right. Brother Peter posted on my chat. He says, Arturo Palawski. That's correct.
This investigation will be conducted in the recognition that totalitarianism relies on mass support.
Stop. So, okay, stop right there. Totalitarianism relies upon mass support. So what is the strength of everybody? We have to lock the nation down. Mass support. You can't have your churches open. Well, what if we say no and we open them anyway? All of us. You have to be on lockdown. Really? Well, last time I checked, there's over 100 million of us, isn't there, in America? How are you going to lock us down? I'm not even talking about being violent, folks. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just all 100 million of us standing out there and being like, what's up? Right? You don't have to be violent to do that. Or you all have to wear these masks or you have to take this vaccine. Really? Because what if we all say no? Well, we're all going to fire you. Okay, we'll fire us all. Who are you going to work? Who's going to work for you? Fire all of us. Who's going to work for you? You ain't got the people to work for you. Right? The only reason this works is because men follow it. Right? Just like the lockdowns. Same thing.
So, contemporary societies desperately need more people to withdraw their support of this brutal form of rule. Shortly after 1984 was published, Orwell explained, "The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you."
And I've heard that from the folks in Australia said the same thing. Now, you and I believe, don't let it happen. It depends on God. We trust the Lord and we do what's right and we live for God and we depend on Him and we pray. We don't look outside of God. We don't look for inner strength. We look for Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our dependence is Christ's dependence. It is depending on Christ. But it is us that are doing right. Right? It is us that are obeying. It is us that are living for God. Living by faith. But he's right. It depends on what man is supposed to do. As opposed to in that sense that you don't comply.
Totalitarianism is a political system whereby a centralized state apparatus attempts to control virtually all aspects of life. Everything within the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state.
Oh boy! Now, that reminds me of Fauci, who's the head of the CDC, right? And here he is, and Fauci is like, well, you people just have to listen to me. You're not allowed to disagree with us. Who do you think you are? If you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with science. That's what Fauci said. I'm sorry, is science some god we're supposed to obey? But Fauci thinks he's a god. Tucker Carlson, and I know Fox News is controlled opposition, all that good stuff, but listen, Tucker Carlson just did I just watched a video where he talked about Fauci, and it showed that Fauci has like this little shrine to himself that people sent him. He actually believes he's a little god. But anyway, he talks about how Fauci always changes his mind like the Pope does, ex cathedra, and changes canon law all the time. Right? So, but this is what they believe. Everything within the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state. Well, let's change that to this. Everything within the Lord, nothing outside of the Lord, nothing against the Lord. That's a good motto if your authority is Jesus Christ, right? everything within the King James Bible, nothing outside of the King James Bible, nothing against the King James Bible. You get the picture? Let me show you. Friend, please listen. I'm trying to help you, because this is where the Antichrist theology comes in at. Here it is right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Okay. Well, there it is. Well, wait a minute. They're replacing God with the state. Indeed. Indeed. And what's even worse is when they put religious overtones to it, like some people have.
The Italian dictator Mussolini succinctly put it, while totalitarianism can emerge under the guise of various political ideologies, in the 20th century, it was communism and fascism that provided the ideological support for this type of rule. Communism and fascism are often viewed
as being opposite ends of the political spectrum. Listen to me. Whether they're communists or whether they're fascists, whatever it is, at the top, they're all devil worshippers. Anyone that has the desire to run the world and to dictate to men in that fashion is Antichrist and is a precursor to that final one world ruler that will come. There has to be an evolving beast. There has to be an evolving beast that comes, ever-changing beast, that morphs into what it will finally be, and a man that will rise up and that will rule the world.
As being on opposite ends of the political spectrum, but in the manner they were put into practice in the 20th century, both of these systems displayed the characteristics of the totalized, all-controlling state.
Think about it. Let's stop there. Okay, class, are you ready? I should play my Jeopardy music. Question for you. Oh, I think I will. You know something? I think I will. And this is the time that Pastor Cooley makes everybody angry with him. Okay? This is it. Ready? Oh, I gotta ask the question first. Who was the president that put in place the only lockdown that's been in place for the last 100 years? What political party was he aligned with? Ready? Go. If you guessed Donald J. Trump of the Republican Party, then you are absolutely correct. If you said Biden or Obama or any other Democrat, you are absolutely incorrect, and you maybe have been brainwashed. Because you have been thrown into the right-left paradigm. You have been taken to 1984. You have come to George Orwell's warning to the world here of 1984. You got trumped. That's what happened, because Trump's the one that put the lockdowns in place. The Republican Party. Wait, so, yeah. The Republican Party is ruled by a bunch of corporate fascists, just like the Democrat Party is. But now you have nationalism, fascist nationalism that was led by Trump, versus corporatism, corporate fascism, and communism, which was led by the Democrat Party. See that? You mean like, kind of like what Orwell said? You mean, like sort of the same thing? I mean, really? Well, yeah, Trump was the one that put the lockdown in place. Trump was the one that allowed the governors to keep the lockdowns in place because he kept paying them off. Don't you remember? And don't that make you proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free? Don't that make it, you see why I don't get into all that? You see why I can't do that? Why? Because I simply think they're both Antichrist. At the top, they're both the same. One might heat the knife up a little bit hotter so when it goes through, it cuts easier. One might cut your head clean off. One might do a slow cut. The Republicans will do a soft kill, while the Democrats go in for the kill quickly.
Both use force and propaganda to attain power.
What? Wait a minute. Both use force and propaganda to attain power? Well, who would have done that? Well, the last time we saw something like this would have been, I don't know, 9/11? When we started a war? And they crushed our civil liberties by frisking us at airports, strip-searching blonde-haired ladies, little blonde-haired women, feeling and frisking them down, making kids take their belts off, take their shoes off at the airport. Okay, and when did another civil liberties violation take place? I don't know, under the Trump administration, being forced to wear masks everywhere by governors and by other people? Told you had to lock down the economy, stay inside. 2 weeks to slow the spread. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Crush economic and civil liberties, smother culture, partake in mass surveillance, and terrorize the citizenry with psychological warfare and eventually mass imprisonment.
What? What? Psychological warfare? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Many people got Trump, Teresa. Many of them got Trumped. Big time. No way around it. I'm telling you, I warned everybody who that guy was before he went into office. And I think he's coming back again. And I'll have to admit, it is much more fun following him than Biden. Biden will put you to sleep. Trump makes it really interesting when he does stuff. Are you tired of winning yet? Are you tired of winning? We're going to win so much you're going to be tired of winning. Well, I'm not tired of winning. I'm not tired of winning. The Great Reset. Warfare. and psychological warfare, and eventually mass imprisonment and mass murder. Right? Now, let me show you something. Let me break from this video. Give me a second, guys. I want to show you another video while we're talking about this, okay? And then we'll get back to this video. You guys okay with that? Can you follow me? It'll make sense to you. Here we go.
We talked about it last week, Australia. We talked about how dangerous and how scary it looks. Well, it's getting even worse. In this last week, it's gotten even worse. And when you watch some of these clips, I want you to think about this point. These people are not in a maximum security prison. They are not prisoners. They are free citizens that are, in some cases, walking down the street, minding their own business, when they are slammed into the ground by police, maybe because they're too far from their home. I'm sorry, they didn't get the memo that you're not allowed to walk around. You have to stay locked in your house. This is getting crazy, folks. And I want you to watch this, because when Joe Biden says 97 to 98%, this is the only way you'd have any chance of getting there.
We're Australians, you two and us. We're just your brothers, your mothers, your fathers. Eventually we'll be your children and your grandchildren. And we're just here for freedom of choice. The same freedom our grandparents...
So they're all gathered, all these people in Australia, they're gathered together wanting liberty to just go outside and not get a vaccine passport, not have to be locked down and so if they test positive for COVID or any of those other things, and to be treated like that, right? So these aren't people that are like protesting, or rioting. They're not BLM rioters or Antifa rioters.
That's all we're here for. That's all we want.
Look at us. We're not enemies.
You cannot have the word freedom and mandatory in the same sentence.
Oh! Did you see him slam that guy's face on the ground? What did he do? Didn't have a mask on, breaking lockdown rules. What are you doing? You're done. Slammed his face into the ground.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Run, run, run!
Come on!
There's no violence here. If the mass media says there's violence, and if you believe it, it's because you want to believe it. Lines and lines and lines, all with their stormtrooper suits and Tupperware bowl shields. And these people are just here. We've been singing. And all we want is choice.
This is sacred ground. This is proof that freedom is not a lie. But if you come in and arrest us and drag us off, then you will make it a lie. Not just for you, but the next generation and the next generation.
Police everywhere surrounding us, all with their guns pointed at us. And a lot of these people here are children.
All you have to do is say no. Just open up and let us go home, and we'll come back tomorrow. But we are the same as you. We are one. But we are many and from all. When you come to me, come. We are a free country in one voice. I am, you are, we are Australia.
We are.
I'm sorry, that's kind of funny when he's playing that song at the end. I don't know why that catches me. It's funny. It's like, because it reminds me of every wicked government. It's like you could be playing the Star Spangled Banner right there right now, and I'd be doing the same thing because it's like, here we are proud to be an American, right? Because, like, here they are, these poor people are wanting, and I'm not laughing at them, I'm laughing at the hypocrisy and the irony of it all, right? You're playing that music, and here these guys are just totally abusing you, right? And abusing your freedoms and everything else and liberties. That's exactly what they're doing.
I mean, it's incredible. Every week, the images just get more.
Anyway, so I wanted to show you that and then go back to this. What'd they say? When we talk about Australia, we gave you footage back a week ago on Australia during COVID, the lockdowns and everything, and how they were taking those people and they were putting them in COVID camps and prisons, right? Well, now these people are gathered together, right? And mass imprisonments there, just like what Orwell was talking about. Same thing, right? Same exact thing.
Cement and mass murder. Speaking of Stalin's communist Russia and Hitler's Nazi Germany, Orwell explained, "The two regimes, having started from opposite ends, are rapidly evolving towards the same system, a form of oligarchical collectivism."
Tell me that's not what's going on in America right now. Same exact thing. The two regimes... There's only two. There's only two parties in America. The two regimes, having started from opposite ends, are rapidly evolving toward the same system. Make sense?
In the communist and fascist political systems of the 20th century and in 1984, the totalitarian regime maintained a tight grip of control on the populace through the use of manufactured fear.
Stop! Holy buckets. What did I tell you? Months ago, years, a year ago or so, when this thing first started, I said this whole COVID thing, what a part of this is a weapon of the Antichrist, fear. Remember that? How many times did I tell you that fear was being used to push a system? If we could scare you bad enough, you'll do whatever we want. Let's start out. If you think your neighbor is going to kill you, right? If you think that your neighbor, you're going to catch AIDS from your neighbor, you're going to catch something in the air from your neighbor, right? Then what are you going to do? Well, then I'll stay away from grandma. I won't go see grandma either. I mean, I'll leave grandma in the nursing home to die. Right? What'd they do? They killed grandma in the nursing home. That's what they did. Didn't they? Prove me wrong. Call me a conspiracy theorist so you can marginalize what I'm saying. Or look at the facts. More people died in nursing homes than anywhere. And they told you to stay away from grandma. You're not allowed to go see her. Oh, why? So you could kill her? Oh. Oh, that's why. Because it's easier for you to kill her. Oh, I get it. Okay. And then the governor of Minnesota has this stupid ad that goes, "Is grandma's pumpkin pie worth dying for? You stay home at Thanksgiving time." I'm like, yes, it is. Have you ever had grandma's pumpkin pie? Sure is. But what do they use? Carl, when you were in junior high, I had a tinfoil hat on with my kids at a restaurant. I just want you to know that. All right? I got to find that picture sometime. Lucius and Mandy were like, they were like two. Or three or something like that, and I have a picture with them. But what did they use? What did they use to get you to lock down? Fear and intimidation. Manufactured fear for something that has a survival rate higher, listen to me, higher than the average life expectancy. 99% survival rate. They use fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But what do they have? They have the tool of Antichrist, right? Check this out. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let's back up. What does God do? Look what this says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had the power of death. God took it away through Jesus. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That'll make you shout, won't it? What they do, they use fear. So what they use fear for? To lock you down. To make you afraid of people. So you'll be afraid of being around people. I mean, you can't be around people. Don't you know people are going to kill you? You got to be off by yourself. That's Satan's tactic. To isolate you. Get you off by yourself so he can devour you. That's how it works. Man, that ice was good. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be doing that while I'm broadcasting, but man, that ice was good. But anyway, that's what he wanted to do. That's what the governments of the world, that's the manufactured fear. Why is it manufactured? Because it ain't real. I mean, it's just not. But if they say it long enough, you'll believe it. Right? So then what else? How else did they use fear? Well, they used fear to get you to put the mask on. I literally remember going to the grocery store and having Jezebel women mad as hell at me. And I looked and they were like, so do all three of you have medical conditions that you can't wear a mask? I was like, well, lady, you don't know my health conditions. It ain't none of your business. And by the way, who in the world does somebody think they are asking you about your health decisions and things like that? Like, who do people think they are? It'd be like looking at some lady and saying, well, lady, did you have your gynecological exam this year? Did you get a pap smear? Did you get this taken? Who do you think you are asking me about private decisions? I don't ask you if you had a hysterectomy. We don't walk around asking each other if we got our prostate checked. Right? But fear, they're all afraid. And that fear leads them. That fear guides them, it controls them, it rules over them. And then they never do anything outside of the state. Well, Dr. Fauci and the CDC said, we have to do this, so we just have to do it. No, I don't. Like Fauci says, it's too early to tell what we're going to do for Christmas. If we're going to have Christmas or not. Well, first of all, I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm not Catholic. Some of you will get that later. But if I did, I sure wouldn't be waiting for your permission. I sure wouldn't be waiting to clear it with you. Right? I'm sure not going to wait for, while they travel around to their three or four different houses, and they're living their lives, and they're living it up. Well, none of them are wearing masks. Well, they're watching us look like a bunch of idiots. Right? But but they use fear. So then they got you to wear the mask. Right? No, they got you to social distance through fear. Oh, don't go near that guy. Stay away from that guy. You got to stay 6 feet away from everybody you ever known in your life. People going on dates and wearing masks. I saw two people in the airport kissing each other with masks on. How stupid are you? Like that paper mask is going to do something for you. And when you touch it to somebody else's spit on their mask, you don't think you're going to catch something? How dumb are you? Man, I went to public school, I realized, but I didn't get that dumb. So stupid. So, they got you to social distance. You stay 6 feet away from everybody at all times. You stay away from them. 6 feet away from them. Right? Social distancing. Social distancing. Social distancing. It's like, do you follow any of that? Not really. Not really. People running around like 6 feet from each other with 6 feet poles away from each other, worrying about being too close to somebody because you're going to get cooties from them. So stupid. But that manufactured fear. They just made people afraid. If you can make them afraid like that, then you can get them to stand 6 feet apart from each other. And don't go visit your family. Did I buy into that? No. No. Not at all. Because I'm going to tell you what. I know everybody and their mother, and I mean their mother too, tried to keep from getting COVID and they got it anyway. Yep. You can hide yourself out in your little dungeon all you want to. Ain't going to do you no good. If somebody's going to get sick, you're going to get sick. That's the way it goes. But that's what they did, right? That's what they did. So they got you a social distance. Then they said, oh, you don't want to wear that mask. You don't want to be back in lockdown, do you? Well, if you don't want to be back down in lockdown, then you need to get a vaccine. And don't question the science of the vaccine, you idiot. Who do you think you are? Stick that needle in your arm and get three more shots after it. Booster shots and do what you're told to do. Just do that. What's the matter with you? Anyway. Thinking you have the right to think. We'll fix that. We'll show every video of every person that we can ever find on the news that was vocal against wearing masks and taking a vaccine that died. We'll manufacture any amount of fear we can. We won't show you the hundreds of thousands of people and millions of people that lived not wearing masks. And not taking a vaccine. We won't show you those that got COVID and then got antibodies and then built up and had a robust infection and then built up and became stronger from it. And then and had those Delta variants, all those other things. And when it came through again, they didn't get sick. We won't do that. But we'll manufacture enough fear because that'll make people sicker. If we can get you afraid, we'll make you sicker. Right? That's what we'll do. So then we'll get you to take that vaccine. And then you won't question what we're putting in your arm. You won't even question that the fact that most vaccines take years to develop and this one was done in like 5 months. Just hurry up and take it before you think about it. Right? And we'll use fear. Well, you don't want to go back to lockdowns, do you? You don't want to give somebody else something, do you? You don't want to go back to wearing that mask all the time. You don't want to go back. And then they tell you after you take the vaccine, well, you need to wear a mask.
You need to social distance. Well, what'd the vaccine do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But probably kill you. Help to finish you off. And what did we use it for? Well, you'll do anything. I mean, if somebody gives you enough fear, you'll do anything to remedy yourself of that fear. You don't go back to lockdowns, do you? No. Okay, here, go ahead. Stick it in my arm. Go ahead. All right, just do it. I don't want to go back to that jail cell. I don't want to go back to the jail cell. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to my life being like that. Just go ahead and stick me. I don't care. Whatever. Right? Sound familiar? Sound like 1984 becoming a reality?
Totalitarian leaders, whether of the right or of the left, know better than anyone else how to make use of fear. They thrive on chaos and bewilderment. The strategy of fear is one of their most valuable tactics.
Okay, stop. Just today. So Fauci gets on there today, just yesterday, and says, you know, I don't know about Christmas. And then the CDC had a guide for what to do during the holidays. They pulled it from their website. Why? Chaos. They like it. They want you to be in chaos and fear and hang on their every word. They want you to do that. They want you to be in fear and wonder, well, what am I going to do? Okay, so first you get the vaccine and then you don't need the mask and then you get the vaccine and you do need the mask and you don't need the social distance and you don't need this and you're not contagious, but yet you are contagious, but then you're this or then you're that. And what are you supposed to do? Go about and live your life and tell them all to go pound sand. That's what you do. And trust the Lord and not worry about what they say. That's what you do. Largely ignore them. And don't feed into their fear. I think it's funny that we met as a church for an entire year. Like when they told us not to, we just met anyway and none of us got sick. When they opened up everything again and said, oh, we're opening everything up again and we're doing all this and that, then we all got sick. Isn't that something? Some people think it's a big deal that Biden's in office. I don't see why. I think more people are on their guard with Biden in office than they were with Trump. I mean, all you Republicans let Trump lock the country down. All you guys that voted for Trump, you gave him cover to lock the whole country down. You gave him cover to do whatever he wanted to do. I don't know why anybody complains about Biden. At least you're vigilant now. At least you wake back up again like, oh, totalitarianism is bad. Yeah, it is when it's a Republican or a Democrat. Yeah. Just remember who made all the money off of the vaccines. Just remember Trump's buddies that made all the money. Just remember that, okay? Just remember. Remember who made all the billions of dollars during the pandemic. Just remember that. Don't forget that. I know. You'll make a lovely excuse for it. Biden bad. Trump good. Biden bad, Trump good. Just keep it. Ooh, here it is. Biden bad, Trump good. Biden bad, Trump good. Biden bad, Trump good. Biden bad, Trump good. Keep following it. Keep following Orwell's 1984. Keep believing that that's true. Keep convincing yourself that system is real. That Biden is 1,000 times worse than Trump. Because what I see the same devils. You don't, though. You want to know why you don't? Because you're Trumped. That's why. You don't see they're doing the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. And it's the system. But you can't admit it to yourself. You just can't admit it to yourself.
and that's pride. No, I think there's a fundamental difference between both of them. What is it? I mean, what? Well, what is it? Well, what's the difference? You like the way one says it more than the other before he steals your liberty from you, or what? One finesses it better? I hope I am making you mad. I guarantee you. I think I've had people leave this church that didn't like it because I didn't like Trump because I thought he was a phony. I know they left this church, but that was one of the reasons. They didn't like it. Because I just called it out. I TD Jake'd him. I called it out! Right? They got mad. But isn't that the mantra? Isn't that the way they look at it? Biden bad, Trump good. Biden bad, Trump good. Well, how's it any different than this right here that Orwell's talking about? How is it any different? It's not. And you know it's not. You know it's not if you'll be honest with yourself. You'll know it's not. By the way, who's the one that first pushed the vaccine? Trump! He's the one that pushed. Biden didn't. Biden was against it. Kamala Harris came on TV and said, I don't know about that, going for that vaccine, since Trump is the one that said to take it. Right? Isn't that, wait. And Trump took Regeneron. It just sounds like a transformer. I'm sorry, it just does. I mean, I can't figure out why people are so against when they come up there and they say they're against the vaccine and they're like blaming Biden for it. Well, the vaccine came out under Trump's watch. He's the one that laid the foundation for it all. Why does anybody get that? Yeah, but Biden's the one enforcing it. Well, if Trump didn't do it, then Biden wouldn't enforce it. Whoa. That's too compelling of an argument. Whoa. And Teresa, that's what you have to... They were all okay with it once Trump was out of office. Yeah, because it's a scam. And hey, they're all in on it.
In 1984... continuous war between the three superstates perpetuated this state of fear. It was not important who was at war with who, or who was allied with who, as this was changing all the time, and the point of the war was not for one superstate to conquer another, but for all three superstates to work behind the scenes to create the conditions of terror that would enable them all to institute totalitarian controls within their own borders.
There you go, look at that! All the war machine does, okay, are you ready for this? Are you ready? Man, I'm making you put your big boy glasses on and your big girl glasses on. I'm telling you what, you're having to think today. Is your head hurting already? Because you're having to think today. Now let's do some comparisons, and then you will slowly remove your hand from your heart. You will slowly stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And you will sit there and reality will hit you. Our world is in a perpetual state of warfare. Now, Jesus promised this in the scriptures. Are you ready? I'll show you this part. Then we'll get back to what I'm going to say. But I need to show you the Bible. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Okay, now, we are in a constant state of perpetual warfare, right? Now try to stay focused, even you guys in the chat. I know Peter and Noah, the Noah brothers over there, Peter and... Carl have a hard time staying focused, but I'll help him. I'll help him try to stay focused. Now follow this birdie. Are you ready? Put your no-eyed conspiracy hats on, Peter and Carl. Here we go. China runs 100% surveillance of their people. England, London, locked the entire place down. Runs surveillance against their people. The United States of America records, listens to, and monitors everything we do online. Cameras in public. Cameras everywhere. Wait a minute, are you saying that all the major superpowers of the world, they're in hidden warfare together with each other, but behind the scenes what they're really doing is surveilling their own people? Yeah. Yeah. Because let's go back to the Patriot Act. Wait a minute, so some foreigners came over here, you said, slammed planes into buildings, you said, what about Building 7? It fell. Nothing touched it. You said all these things happened, right? So then we have to frisk every man at the airport, frisk everybody when they fly an airplane, get special identity, suspend the Fourth Amendment, suspend the other amendments, constitutionally set up free speech zones in the name of the war on terror. Wait a minute. Why are we all being surveilled because of an outside enemy fought us? Oh, because of this. Because you're using a military-industrial complex not to fight other nations, but to pretend like you're fighting other nations, while what you're really doing is enslaving and surveilling your own citizens. Is this too deep for some of you? Because none should dare call this conspiracy, because I'm just giving you facts. I'm not even like exaggerating anything. I'm just literally giving you facts. I am literally showing you facts of what's going on. So they're spying on all of us because of other nations. Gotcha. Oh. Yeah. So that's what they used. You know, we're only 4 minutes into this video. Do you realize that? If I could finish it.
Constant surveillance of all of the citizens was an additional tool in the arsenal of the totalitarian regime of 1984. Surveillance not only allowed for more effective overt control of the citizenry, but it also induced paranoia, which made it less likely that any citizen would even dare
Induced paranoia made every citizen... Here, remember this? All right, let's go back in the Wayback Machine. Remember this? See something? Say something. See something? Say something. Turn your fellow citizens... If you see suspicious activity, say something. So during COVID, that was during 9/11, after 9/11, then during COVID lockdowns, I've told you this story before, we're outside grilling out, eating on Sunday afternoon, and some old ladies that were on the bike trail down below were in masks and all, and they looked up at us and they called the police on us. And they, because we were having church. They narked us off. And again, I remember telling you this before, but I'll tell you this again, that they said to me, the police said, there's only 3 calls to the governor's hotline in Northfield, and you're 2 of them. Well, I don't know whether to be honored by that or what. I consider that a badge of honor almost. I think they should send me a plaque for that. I wish I would have made all 3 of them. Right?
Step out of line. This surveillance was achieved, firstly, through the technology of the telescreen, which was installed in everyone's home and throughout the streets, and as Orwell explained. The telescreen received and transmitted simultaneously.
Hey, what do these phones do? Right? The telescreen received and transmitted simultaneously. There was, of course, no way of knowing whether you were being watched at any given moment. It was even conceivable that they watched everybody all the time.
There was, of course, no way of knowing whether you were being watched at any given moment. It was even conceivable that they watched everybody all the time. But at any rate, they could plug in your wire whenever they wanted to. You had to live, did live, from habit that became instinct, in the assumption that every sound you made was overheard, and, except in darkness, every movement scrutinized. Secondly, mass surveillance of the citizenry was conducted by the citizens of 1984 themselves. Each person watched everyone else, and each person was, in turn, watched by everyone else. The most innocent of expressions, an innocuous statement, or a subtle look of disapproval when Big Brother appeared on the telescreen, was reported to the thought police and treated as a thought crime or a face crime, as evidence that one was disloyal and had something to hide. It is intolerable to us that an erroneous thought should exist anywhere in the world, however secret and powerless it may be, Orwell has the character O'Brien explain. In Stalinist Russia, Alexander Solzhenitsyn noted that one could never be sure whether one's neighbors, friends, co-workers, the postman, or even in some cases one's own family, would report to the secret police a slip of the tongue, a criticism of Stalin or of communism. For if one was reported, their fate was usually sealed.
This reminds me of the Waldenses that were very careful to vet the people that were around them back when they were martyred and stuff, because Judases would arise up there and they would turn them in. There you go. Same spirit, right? The spirit of Antichrist. What's the Bible say about that? Look at this. Let's look at that. Let's see. See if I can find that. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another.
The police would knock at the door in the middle of the night, and soon after one would be given the standard sentence of a tenor, that is, 10 years in the slave labor gulag prison camps. This form of surveillance created social conditions wherein most citizens adopted hypocrisy and lying as a way of life, or as Solzhenitsyn explains in the Gulag Archipelago. The permanent lie becomes the only safe form of existence. Every wag of the tongue can be overheard by someone, every facial expression observed by someone. Therefore, every word, if it does not have to be a direct lie, is nonetheless obliged not to contradict the general, common lie. There exists a collection of ready-made phrases, of labels, a selection of ready-made lies. In addition to a ubiquitous state of fear, in totalitarianism there exists a widespread state of confusion and mental disorientation amongst the...
This right here is the psyop part of it. I think we can finish that in about a half an hour. Let me see. Let's see what time it is. Yep, we can finish this in about a half an hour. We should be able to get through this. This is the psyop. This is the satanic psyop psychological operation part. That's what this is right here. That's what we're getting into. All right? Where it gets deeper down the rabbit hole. Right? You follow me?
Citizenry. Many victims of totalitarianism have told me in interviews that the most upsetting experience they faced was the feeling of loss of logic, the state of confusion into which they had been brought, the state in which nothing had any validity. They simply did not know what was what. In 1984, widespread mental disorientation was stimulated via the falsification.
Did you see that? They didn't know what was what. What are they doing right now with this psychological operation? No one knows what is what. One day you have a bit of scientific information that comes out. The next day you have a different bit of scientific information that comes out. People are standing around wondering, well, what's the truth? I mean, what really is the truth when it comes to all that? That's part of the PSYOP. That's part of the plan.
Vacation of history and the negation of the concept of objective truth. The Ministry of Truth was the institution which falsified history.
The Ministry of Truth! What is Facebook? The Ministry of Truth! What is YouTube? The Ministry of Truth! If something is false, if something does not go along with the collective, it must be banned! So what do they do? If you say COVID-19 vaccines on YouTube, you're done. If you say you don't agree with the vaccine, you're done. You're cut off. The Ministry of Truth cancels you. You're not allowed to disagree with them. They are the arbitrator of truth. They're a god. They are the gods of the internet. They are the gods of the information superhighway. That's who they are. And rest assured, Facebook didn't lose anything. Facebook's investors lost money. I guarantee you, that little weasel devil Zuckerberg didn't lose anything. Guaranteed.
Everything faded into mist. The past was erased. The eraser was forgotten. The lie became truth.
You see what I mean? Nobody knows history anymore. So when they detach you from history, right? When they detach you from the truth, the quickest way to destroy a people is to sever them from their roots. When people don't know where they came from and they don't know the history of things, they are easily manipulated because they have no past. They have no history.
One of the reasons totalitarian regimes attempt to alter history is because it rids the society of any past reference points or standards of comparison, which might remind the citizens that life in the past was so much better than it is in the sterile and oppressive present.
Right. What they do is they try to erase history, sever you from your history so you don't know what was true and real. Many of our forefathers in this nation had a lot more liberty than we do today. But they're trying to make that liberty look like slavery.
Within 20 years at the most, the huge and simple question, was life better before the revolution than it is now, would have ceased once and for all to be answerable, wrote Orwell. But another reason history is falsified by totalitarians is to ensure there are no historical roots to which the citizen can anchor and find a truth. Sustenance and strength.
So they try to do that with the Bible too. They want to discredit the Bible. They want to discredit the Word of God. And they try to separate you from the Bible and shame men that follow the Scriptures. They want to shame you. How do they do that? Misogynists, they call the Bible a misogynist book, and it was written by slave owners, or it was used by slave owners, and it was used by this, and it was written by men, and it has nothing to do, isn't really God's word, and they want to challenge it. Why? Because it's absolute truth. Right? So they want to get you away from that so you have no foundation. What is this? What does Satan know? And what do these totalitarians know? Satan is a totalitarian. You have to understand, he is a totalitarian. He's the king of them. He's the king of this world. He's the god of this world. The god of this world system. Here's what he knows. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If he can destroy the foundations, which he has fundamentally been used
and he's used the government, and he's used socialism and communism and everything else to destroy the family. He's used this world system to destroy the family. Get mom out of the home. Change the family. Change the dynamic of the family. Change mom's focus. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
In totalitarianism, there can be no historical information which contradicts or puts into question the reigning political ideology, nor any institution, such as religion, which offers the individual a refuge from the influence of the state.
See, this is the thing. In totalitarian regimes like that, which is, by the way, that's the Antichrist, that is going to be the Antichrist ruling and reigning. He is going to be a totalitarian dictator that rules the world. Okay? So what is it, what's going to happen is you can't believe the Bible. Because if you believe the Bible, then it's in direct opposition to the state being God. See, the state has to eventually morph into a God that is worshipped. That beast system has to be completely worshipped. Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That beast system has to be worshipped, followed above all else. Why is that? Because if it is not followed above all else, and you have the Bible for your, if your Bible is read, then you won't follow the state, right? You won't. You won't. But if the Bible is discredited, if religion is persecuted and it's pushed down, then Luciferian will be the only state beast religion that is acceptable. And it is in the end times. Luciferianism is the only religion that will be accepted.
And so as Orwell wrote in 1984, every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street and building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And that process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right.
There you go. So what are they doing now? They've taken down all these statues of all these people. They've rewritten the history books. They've taught an alternate history of America and of the founding of America and our founding fathers and all. Why? Because they're forming a one-world government where the Antichrist is going to sit on the throne.
Along with destroying or falsifying the past, widespread mental disorientation is further cultivated by destroying the belief in objective truth. This is done through a program of psychological warfare. Incessant and intentionally confusing propaganda, conflicting reports, and blatant lies are pumped out in official reports and through the mass media at all hours of the day. What is said today has no bearing on what may be said tomorrow, for as Orwell explained, the totalitarian state sets up unquestionable dogmas, and it alters them from day to day. It needs the dogmas because it needs absolute obedience from its subjects, but it cannot avoid the changes, which are dictated by the needs of power politics.
So basically, like a lot that goes on in the news today that's pumped out in reports and official reports and all these other things, it's designed for you to follow them, and you don't even know if they're telling you the truth or not. Like, you have no idea if they're telling you the truth. You have no idea. And then they change those dogmas around, right? So basically, Biden said when he first came into office, we're not going to enforce vaccines. We're not going to make them mandatory. And then what did he do? He changed it, made it mandatory.
In 1984, for example, the Ministry of Plenty put out a bulletin that they were increasing the chocolate ration to 20 grams a week. Orwell writes, "And only yesterday," Winston reflected, "it had been announced that the ration was to be reduced to 20 grams a week. Was it possible that the citizens could swallow that after only 24 hours? Yes, they swallowed it. Was he, then, alone in the possession of a memory?"
The information goes so fast and is thrown at us so quickly, and it changes so quickly. It's a psychological operation. You know what stays the same? God's Word. You know what doesn't change? The principles of the Scriptures. The truths and the doctrines of the King James Bible, those don't change. God does not change. He is immutable. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Addition, contradictions, hypocrisies, and lies form the foundation of the totalitarian ideology. The totalitarian system presents the enslavement of the individual as his or her liberation. Censoring information is called protecting the truth.
See? What's YouTube and Facebook do? They censor the information, protecting the truth. When all they're really doing is hiding the truth.
The destruction of culture or the economy is called its development. The military occupation of other countries is labeled as the furtherance of freedom and peace.
So Orwell talked about that, right? Back then, the furtherance of freedom and peace. The occupation of other nations. We're gonna go help Iraq. I used to joke about it. We're gonna go drop some democracy on you. If you don't do what we want, like Saddam Hussein said he was gonna leave the dollar as the reserve, oil reserve currency over there in Iraq. And what'd we do? We dropped some democracy. A little bit of peace and safety we dropped on him. A little bit of democracy we dropped on him. Right? Same thing with all those other nations. We drop a little bit of democracy on them. And then we call it for the furtherance of peace and freedom. Wait, you bomb people and kill them for the furtherance of peace and safety?
Peace. In 1984, the Ministry of Peace instigated wars. The Ministry of Truth manufactured propaganda.
Look at that. The Ministry of Peace instigated wars. That's what our nation does. That's what our military does. The Ministry of Truth manufactured propaganda. Well, who's manufacturing propaganda today? The United States government. They manufacture propaganda. They've lied about this virus from the beginning. They've lied about this sickness from the beginning. They've used it to their advantage.
Propaganda, and the Ministry of Plenty created shortages. On the enormous pyramidal structure of the Ministry of Truth hung the words, "War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength." The official ideology abounds with contradictions even when there is no practical reason for them, Orwell explained in 1984. These contradictions are not accidental. The purpose of this all...
Like calling pro-choice, you know, they call stuff pro-choice or the Patriot Act. Well, there's nothing patriotic about the Patriot Act. It took our liberty away. That's the opposite of patriotism. You took our liberty away. You punished patriots. Is that why it's called the Patriot Act? You punished people that were good citizens. See what I mean? Same thing.
Encompassing program of psychological warfare is to bewilder the mind of the average citizen. For when the citizen is bombarded with contradictions and lies and lives in what Orwell called that shifting phantasmagoric world in which black may be white tomorrow, and yesterday's weather can be changed by decree, he or she eventually ceases to know what to think, or even how to think. The distinction between up and down, fact and fiction, truth and falsity, is not only blurred, but loses significance. The belief in objective truth disappears, and the average citizen becomes completely dependent on authority figures to feed him ideas, and thus is ready to assent to lies.
Think about that. Now, you as Bible believers, you know absolute truth comes from the Bible. So we don't believe everything we see out there that we're told out there. We believe God's word, no matter what we see out there.
...and to believe the most absurd things, so long as those in the political class deem it to be true. The Soviet official, Georgi Pyatakov, explained that the true Bolshevik would be ready to believe that black was white and white was black if the party required it. There was no particle left inside him which was not at one with the party.
That's how you know true Bolshevism came from the Jesuits. Because they believed the same thing. And they were around a lot longer and had a lot more power.
Party did not belong to it. In an essay titled Totalitarianism and the Lie, Leszek Kolakowski, A philosopher who was exiled from Poland for his criticisms of communism and Marxism wrote, "This is what totalitarian regimes keep unceasingly trying to achieve. People whose memory, personal or collective, has been nationalized, has become state-owned and perfectly malleable, totally controllable, are entirely at the mercy of their rulers. They have been deprived of their identity. They are helpless and incapable of questioning anything they are told to believe. They will never revolt, never think, never create. They have been transformed into dead objects." In 1984, the main character Winston manages for most of the book to stand psychologically outside the grasp of the party and its leader Big Brother, despite the widespread fear and mental disorientation which swirls around him. "Down with Big Brother," he writes in his diary early in the book. However, after being arrested by the thought police and subjected to re-education, Winston abdicates his reason and conscience and begins to accept the lies. He joins the totalitarian cult and becomes another brick in the wall of the all-powerful state. Referring to Winston, Orwell writes, "He could not fight against the party any longer. Besides, the party was in the right. It was merely a question of learning to think as they thought. The pencil felt thick and awkward in Winston's fingers. He began to write down the thoughts that came into his head. He wrote first in large clumsy capitals, 'Freedom is slavery.' Then almost without a pause, he wrote beneath it, 2 and 2 make 5. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother."
So you see here what this is saying. This is how the Antichrist is going to work. He's going to wear them down, or they're going to gladly receive it, right? And they're going to follow him because they rejected the love of the truth. If you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you reject the truth of the scriptures, if you turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ and you do not trust him as Lord and Savior, you do not repent and believe the gospel, you will fall for this evolving beast. And you will follow their lies, and you will give in to their fear tactics, and you will follow them. But if you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you turn to him, you won't be deceived by these people.
Some have taken this ending as a sign of Orwell's pessimism, as an indication that humanity is doomed to a totalitarian future. Yet Orwell's motive for writing this book was not to depress, nor promote a fatalistic apathy, but to warn and rouse to action as many people as possible. For Orwell understood as well as anyone that in the battle between totalitarianism and freedom, no one can afford to stand aside. The fate of each and every one of us hangs in the balance.
Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
There you go. Now think about that. In the light of everything that we've seen, in everything that's happened, think about it. The direction of the world, and realize that all Orwell is describing is the God of this world. He's describing the Antichrist beast system that we find in Revelation 13. The only antidote to all of it is by faith in Christ, is by trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, is by having the scriptures to be able to discern through everything. Right? It's to discern through what's right and wrong by clear and perfect truth in the King James Bible. By that Bible, that book being your only authority, your sole authority, that is, of faith and practice. That you stake everything upon that book, God's holy word, who promised that it would perfect you and that it would give you everything that you needed. That is the only remedy for Orwell's 1984. That is the only remedy for this world system and for the end times. That's it, friend. That's it. Hope this gives you a good understanding of it. Hope it gives you a good solid basis for understanding, like,
that God already said this. God already prophesied of this in the Bible. Orwell, led by devils, spoke of it. And now we see it lived out. We see it lived out right now. Right? We see it as part of this world, part of this world system. So anyway, if you all want to say hi for a few minutes here, I'm going to play a song and then we will get out of here.
Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine.
You may feast. I forgot, you can't say hi because I'm on some audio. Sorry about that. I forgot. I'm trying to develop a chat system within on sermon audio to that'll be able to go along with that. But I forgot all about that. That is so funny. Only the people on my chat that's on a Facebook chat group on Instant Messenger can do that during the broadcast. I forgot about that. Anyway, well, God bless you all, and you pray for us. We'll be back on Friday. Okay, Lord willing, for another broadcast. And remember, the answer is Jesus Christ. And God's word is very clear, and we're not to give in to that fear of this world, because we have Christ, and we have the true hope, and we have the true understanding. And praise God for that. Praise God that all of the world doesn't have the answer, but we have it through Christ. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.